former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Femi Abebefe, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
It's a great day to be alive, and it's a great day to be a better. Coming to you from the Circa Resort and Casino in downtown Las Vegas. Sportsbook filling up, getting packed for the second day of March Madness. Oh, what a happy time it is. This is the Lombardi Line, presented by BetMGM. Femi Abebefe alongside Mike Pritchard, former NFL wide receiver, played nearly a decade in the league, national champion over at Colorado back in the day. Pritch, we have a fun show on deck.
Yes, sir.
But just the overall vibe of Vegas, it's palpable. Everyone's excited. Everyone's having fun time after what we saw last night and yesterday afternoon. And we're going to do it all over again.
Yes, buddy. We are. I'm a veteran of the madness, too, by the way, Femi. So being out here and growing up in Las Vegas, you got to consume it. But I was able to consume it yesterday, and we were not disappointed at all.
No.
I don't think we're going to be disappointed at all today as well. But, yeah, everywhere is filling up. I mean, everywhere around town is packed. I mean, I'm watching these games off the strip. And it's packed. So that's what the madness will bring, and we cannot be more excited right now.
Yeah, it's going to be a great time. Like I said, good day to be alive, good day to be better. Uh-huh. You know, that's what we like to have here. And March Madness, I think, is a perfect example of that. But coming up on the show, we got a jam-packed show. Four guests will be joining us over these couple hours. Former NCAA basketball head coach, national champion Steve Fisher. Hey, have you heard of the Fab Five? Yeah, he coached those guys. He also won a title with Glenn Rice back in Michigan and coached San Diego State as the Aztecs have moved on into the second round. We'll talk to Steve Fisher coming up in 15 minutes. Bobby Kremins led Georgia Tech to the Final Four in the 80s. He will be joining us in 30 minutes. Vinny Maiulo, Hall of Fame odds maker over at the South Point at the top of next hour, so in 60 minutes from now. And then at 1:15 Eastern, 10:15 West Coast time, we'll have our buddy Josh Applebaum, host of the Market Insights podcast, will come in and check in with us at 10:15. So jam-packed show.
Yes.
A lot of fun. Make sure to tweet at us, at VSiN Live on Twitter, at MI Pritchard is where you can find Pritch, at Femi Abebefe is where you can find me. But Pritch, we got to start with what we saw last night before we get into today's games. How about the games, the upsets that we saw?
Right.
I thought that was kind of the big takeaway because it's the madness. I think the upsets kind of always lead the way early on. And Princeton, the 15. We've now started to see this like a handful of times now, so it shouldn't be as shocking,
right?
But it still is shocking when you see it happen. Princeton, 9-1 on the money line, takes down Arizona, the 2-seed.
Well, I tell you what, I mean, I don't know about you, but certainly getting valuable information from our buddy James Salinas in town for the madness in regards to, okay, are you really going to handicap these games or are you going to end game? And I tell you what, when you have a chance to end game some of these games, that thing gets like a roller coaster, but it's highly exciting, right? So, you're watching it, and then, you know, you get deeper into that second half, and Arizona can't score. But yet, the whole game long, Princeton controlled the pace. Princeton was comfortable. Now, could you foresee that they're going to actually win the game? No, not really. But you know, lo and behold, some things can happen. Some players can get tight. If you don't have a solid backcourt, and I think that was a question about Arizona, even though people had them winning the entire thing, Jay Billis. You know, there's questions about that backcourt, but I just love the way that Princeton was able to control that pace. More importantly, though, as a better, watch that team be comfortable, entirely comfortable throughout the entire game.
And I think that's a really nice point that you brought up with the end game, because I think at times you see bettors like, oh, well, Arizona has to win this game.
Right.
They don't have to win anything, you know? And I think people see, well, I'm getting Arizona discount, and we'll just kind of jam Arizona on the end game. But if you see and get a sense of, hey, these guys don't look comfortable, they're getting a little bit tight.
Yep.
And I thought you saw that in the second half with Arizona, that the game was not being played at their pace, that up and down, running up and down the floor, what they typically like to do. They're always up there with the adjusted tempo. Princeton was so comfortable, and then you started to see that pressure mount on Arizona. Guys start doing stuff out of the norm, start trying to play hero ball because they're like, hey, we need to be winning this game. Like, our season's on the line. What's going on?
Right.
And then it can kind of collapse, almost like the quicksand kind of theory of the harder you try, you know, the faster you're going to end up failing. And that's what happened yesterday with Arizona.
Yeah, and so I had the under. I mean, look at that pre-flop under right there, 154. Oof. Does that make sense at all to you? And I'm, like, screaming. Like, this doesn't make sense. So I fired up on the app, and I hit the under on that one, in addition to another underplay we'll get to. But predominantly because of the other play, that this is the reason why I was compelled to go with the under preflop on this one. Now, in game, too, I mean, it could have been some situations in which you could have got in there. But I don't mess with in-game totals, but preflop, 154 right there. I was like, okay, first game out, shaky guard play. And we know Arizona wants to be athletic. I saw them last year in the Pac-12 championship or even this past season. And you know, you think about the injury that they had a couple years ago. And then this year, okay, they get the job done, but yet just still shaky in the backcourt, but highly athletic. I mean, you appreciate that. But again, it's about pacing to me in these early games and which teams can be comfortable the quickest. So, yeah, I jumped on the under. No sweat right there. You know, the sides right now are kind of shaky for me. I really want to approach them from an in-game standpoint. And as we build through the show, I'll explain all that and reasons why.
You know, I think the last point on this Princeton-Arizona game, I think if somebody told you that Princeton was only going to make 4 3-pointers in the game, I think you'd probably bet a lot of money on Arizona to go ahead and win the game and to also cover. Mm-hmm. Just goes to show you that it just wasn't their day, as the Wildcats also didn't make their threes. But the Princeton getting it done, it wasn't just three-point variance as to why they won the game. They slowed down the tempo and they played their ball. Yeah. Another upset, which was thrilling here at Circa. I was here watching this game with our buddy Adam Burke, who does work for VSiN.com, obviously, and as a contributor and host here at VSiN. Furman taking down Virginia. So I had Furman with the points. I regrettably did not sprinkle anything on the money line because I thought that, all right, Virginia plays a slow tempo. Furman should be able to keep this thing close. And Furman didn't even play that well.
Right.
And somehow Virginia, we all saw the gaffe, Kihei Clark, throws the ball over his head without really seeing it from the corner. Furman then takes advantage, gets a go-ahead three. And, I mean, we're looking at the shot right there. The book was absolutely going wild after that shot that was made. But how about the Paladins getting it done against Virginia?
Yeah, who knew the Furman Paladins, right? Against Virginia, big almighty Virginia. You know, the thing about these games or sports in general, and this is what I have filed away. As a better now, because as a player, this was true. More players are panicky in nature than poised. When you find poised players, you find the Tom Brady's, the Joe Montana's, you know, the Elway's, and those things are noticeable, right? But more times than not, players are panicky. Even with a timeout, they're panicking. Or, you know, throw the ball off his leg, right? Something like that. But you're not poised in situations or crucial situations. And then the onions to knock down the shot too, though. So that was a perfect end game by our guy, James Salinas, because of how stretched that line got at one point. And like, okay, you're compelled to take that number, you know, it's the first round. This thing is stretched and you're looking at what, plus 300 over plus 300 on the money line end game. And so it hits for you. Right. And so things like that are intriguing to me, especially in these early rounds. I think once we get into the Sweet 16 and we can digest this first opening rounds, really you can start to handicap. But right now, I mean, I am so attractive to what the end game can bring. Like, and we're about to have a tip-off that I think it could be very enticing from an in-game perspective as well.
Well, let's get to that game. USC and Michigan State is about to tip off 9:15 local time here on the West Coast, 12:15 over on the East Coast. Sparty on St. Patrick's Day. They're wearing the green.
Yep.
You know, I got my green jacket on, you know, just trying to get a little bit of money, get some good vibes with St. Patty's Day.
I got some money in my pocket.
There you go. Got some greenbacks with you. Sparty is laying 2.5 against USC, total 136.5 here. Will you be backing Izzo here in March?
I mean, there's a lot to like about it, right? But it's Big Ten basketball, and I always got to go there. And then you think about SC and how SC is a short dog in this one. So I follow the Pac-12 when I'm watching college basketball, reasons why, Colorado, obviously. So, you know, you like a short dog situation if you are attractive to an end game, because we know basketball is a game of runs. And I think once this line gets stretched, if it does, say Izzo and Michigan State, they just create a margin. I mean, there's an opportunity, I think, from a short dog situation pre-flop with SC to really look at the number and be intrigued by that. So that's what I'm going to pay attention to. Obviously, you want to see who's comfortable out there on the floor, who's knocking down shots, who's giving effort defensively, who's scrambling, who's scrapping, all that stuff. Those are indicators to me that can help me out from an in-game perspective.
Yeah, Sparty has been the favorite for much of this betting market here, and they've gotten some respect. They're up to 3 in some places. I believe over at DraftKings, they're 3-105. So it seems like the money is coming in on Michigan State. Okay. I know that right now this is the most bet game so far because it's about to tip off. So people are getting those bets in. Right. But Michigan State appears to be the quote-unquote public side here, which read into that whatever you will. I kind of like Michigan State in this game. I didn't like it enough to lay that 2.5 because I think they can be so inconsistent. This Michigan State team, who I actually have in my Final Four, by the way, I know brackets.
Okay.
Yeah, like the brackets, it's kind of off to the side because we're mainly a betting show. But just from a bracket standpoint, I thought that this region could open up for Michigan State. And I think that they just – there's something about Izzo, and he hasn't been there in a while. So I don't know how much of the January, February Izzo applies now in 2023. Mm-hmm. But he's so experienced in these spots. I got a feeling. It was more like a hunch that more than anything that I think Michigan State, since they haven't been heard from in a while, this could be the team that actually makes a little bit of noise.
Yeah, I mean, they've been through it too this season, right? I mean, I think everything that's happened up there, but Izzo, the experience, you have to pay attention to that. Mm-hmm. But from my standpoint, it's impossible because I don't have the experience handicapping this game like that. But from an in-game standpoint, for instance, Michigan State, say they start off slow and consistent, right? Mm-hmm. As a favorite, you wonder what that in-game number is going to turn into. Is there an opportunity at some point, right, when Michigan State does get it together? So either way, I just like the in-game perspective when you have these early games and certainly games that are tough to handicap, in my opinion.
KenPom makes this a one-point game in favor of Michigan State. 70-69 is the projected final score of this game. Michigan State, they do have one thing in their pocket, though. They're the fourth best three-point shooting team in the country. So if the threes are flying, that'll be a good thing for Michigan State. But if they're not flying, they could be in trouble.
Okay.
That could be something to look for on the end game. We're just getting warmed up here on the Lombardi Line. Coming up next, national champion head coach Steve Fisher will join the show to break down today's March Madness slate. This is the Lombardi Line presented by BetMGM.
Former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Femi Abebefe, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Become a VSiN Pro subscriber today and get everything you need to bet the Madness this year for only $19. Whether you're filling out a bracket or betting against the spread, our team is here to get you ready for every game and every round of the tournament. Only VSiN Pro subscribers get unlimited access to our daily best bets, tools like our exclusive betting splits, plus our Big Dance bracket and betting guides. These guides feature in-depth breakdowns of all 68 teams, Cinderella selections, bracket predictions, and picks on every tournament game from VSiN experts like Brent Musburger and Greg Hoops Peterson. Sign up today and get the betting guides plus full access to VSiN through the end of the tournament for only $19 at VSiN.com/subscribe. Welcome back. This is the Lombardi Line presented by BetMGM. Femi Abebefe alongside Mike Pritchard won a national title at Colorado back in the 90s. And we're going to bring on another national champion winner in the baskets. Steve Fisher, former head coach of Michigan and San Diego State, joining the program now, won a title back in 1989 with the Michigan Wolverines. And he's going to give us his expert analysis here. Steve, we appreciate you joining the program. And let's start off here just kind of more on a general vibe here, because this is one of our favorite times of the year as bettors because we get all these games all throughout the day. What does March Madness mean to you, and what kind of memories do you have looking back on the Madness?
Well, having lived it and been in the fray so many times, it's a magical time of year for coaches, players, and fans alike, which is why I do believe, without reservation, it's the most watched, anticipated, and followed sporting event in all of sports.
Yeah, absolutely, Coach Fisher. You know, a lot of people are searching for the recipe as we're going to watch these teams compete and certainly battle for a national championship, six consecutive games. If you can get it done, you're a champion. So from your perspective as a national champion, what is the proper recipe? Because you hear a lot of things. You hear guard play. You hear great defense. So can you score? Matchups. What is the recipe that can get you home as a national champion?
I'm going to start with what I've told a lot of people. If you're really good, you have to make sure that you don't get unlucky. And that can happen in a variety of ways. It can happen through officiating. And I remember 2011 when we had our best San Diego State team. We were 34-3 going into that Sweet 16 game. We had only lost to one team, BYU and Jimmer Fredette. We played Connecticut, who had to win five or six games just to get in the tournament. Kemba Walker was on a roll, but the officials had a huge role to play in it. Kawhi Leonard picked up a technical foul in the first half, they said, for talking. And that was comical because Kawhi never talks. And said he for 4 or 5 minutes. Then we got another technical foul when Kemba flopped on as the two teams were going to their bench. And I didn't see it, but had I really seen it the way I did afterwards, I would have gotten a technical fighting against it. But both of those calls went against us. We lost a very close game to Connecticut, who went on to win the national championship. I think if you're really good, don't get unlucky. You got to make sure, too, that you don't get a team that gets lucky on their own play. And that we saw that yesterday with Furman, a little bit of brain warp on the best player on Virginia's team. Cost them the game at the end when they turn it over and Furman hits a three to win the game. So all of those things factor in, which is what makes it this first week, so exciting and so many people watching, from the casual fans to the diehards. It's a magical, fun moment, and crazy happens, and it has already, and it will continue today on Friday.
Yeah, no, I think that's a fantastic point about luck sometimes playing a factor. Like we'd like to think that it's not luck that it ends up happening, but oftentimes, just one bad break or so can end a season or can propel a team to ultimately cutting down the next. We're speaking with Steve Fisher here, former head coach of the Michigan Wolverines and San Diego State Aztecs. Coach Fisher, you've done it all. You've won a national title. You've been to three Final Fours. But I want to ask you about the Mountain West here, because you coached in that conference, won it 4 times with San Diego State, 7 times in the regular season winning that conference. What do you think is going wrong with these Mountain West teams as of late here? Because so far in this tournament, 1-3 with the Aztecs being the only one getting a win yesterday.
It's been bad. There's no question about it. And it does not shed a good light on our league, which is very, very, very good. And everybody talked about how good our league was this year. 4 teams got in. We were 1-3. Last year, we were 0-4. So people, if they start to look at this, they'll say, well, they can't be as good as some of these others are saying because they can't win in the tournament. So until we win and win with some regularity, we give them room to talk about that. I coached in this league as well as in the Big Ten. This is a really, really good league, and as hard a league to win on the road as there is in the country because of altitude, travel, the way teams have to travel, and on, but comes right back to what everybody says. If you can't win, then you're not as good as they say you are. So we have to win. The Aztecs are the only one left playing. I think we've got a great chance against Furman tomorrow, and we'll see what happens. Maybe we can carry the torch and get people talking about not only San Diego State, but the Mountain West.
You know, Coach Fisher, a lot of people will have opinion prior to a game, a tip-off. Certainly opinions are formed throughout a game. I'm one of the people that will form an opinion throughout the game. And so I have to ask you, from a coach's perspective, which type of team can adjust better? And when you're watching an outcome, a defensive-minded team or an offensive-minded team?
I think most coaches feel defense travels. Defense is your steady eddy, your consistency, what should never waver too far from the norm. Teams can get hot, make shots, and yet if you stay for 40 minutes, stay the course with your defense, you'll have a chance. And that's what I'll use our team as an example. That's what we have done at San Diego State. Our defense is key to our offense. And we can score the ball. I mean, we got guys that can make shots and make threes, yet we have taken great pride in not allowing you to get on any type of run. We're good at that, and I believe we'll continue to be good at that. So I think that's a huge part of it. I'm in agreement with what a lot of people talk about. If you have really good guard play, and if you have veteran good guard play, you've got 2 steps above the crowd. And so I think those things factor in. But defense, I think, travels and wins most of the time.
Defense is also the calling card of the favorite to win the national title, the Houston Cougars. They get it done with their defense. Coach Fisher, who do you think is the best team in the country as of right now, and who do you see cutting down the nets ultimately?
Well, you guys probably know better than I. I thought I heard someplace where they said either 8 of the last 10 years or 9 out of the last 10 years, a 1 or a 2 seed has won the national championship. So I guess you could start looking at who are the ones and who are the twos and pick some from there. The trendy pick with people now, they're talking about Duke and how well they've been playing, and they have been. They're very young, but they're very good. And John Shire has done a magnificent job of kind of having a steady hand, and they're playing their best basketball. If I'd have been on with you 2 days ago, I would have said, boy, I really like Arizona. And Arizona's on the sidelines, on the outside looking in. So, I even though they're not playing well, I love Edie and Purdue, and I know their guards are freshmen, and they might be suspect, but I like Purdue as a team that I think has an opportunity. So that would be one of my picks. And I would have said Houston, but I'm concerned about the guard, Sasser, about his health and what's going to happen with him. I love UCLA, but they got two people hurt. So I say maybe Gonzaga has a chance to sneak in out of the West. And so I would say, though, give me Purdue and give me Gonzaga, and I'll take my chances.
Purdue and Gonzaga, perhaps, maybe. The Kansas Jayhawks also. With the coach. I think that's a very, very big deal with Bill Self. Obviously, we're hoping that Bill Self is okay with it, with the health issue that he's got going on. Real quick, Coach, in about 20 seconds, is there a Cinderella that you like out there that might be able to make a run to the Elite Eight or maybe even Final Four?
Well, I don't want to go against the Aztecs, but Furman looked awfully good to me. In their play. I don't want to go much further, but who knows? I don't really have a Cinderella that I think can make it to a Final Four. I think it'll be probably those higher seeds that will wind up getting there.
All right. He is Steve Fisher. Won a national title at Michigan. Yeah. Has been to the Final Four 3 times. We appreciate you joining the show. We'll be back on the other side to break down some more March Madness here on the Lombardi Line, presented by BetMGM.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Femi Abebefe, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Before you make your next bet, be sure to visit VSiN.com to check the current betting splits data. Want to know where the money and bets are moving every game? Well, the betting splits page is updated with DraftKings odds every 10 minutes, so you can see changes in all the action. Find out where the public is betting based on the number of tickets and where the money doesn't match the public opinion. You can check out not just today's action, but future events as well. Betting splits are another way. VSiN is here to make you a smarter, better year-round. Check out today's betting splits for every game at VSiN.com. Welcome back. This is the Lombardi Line presented by BetMGM. Hanging out here at the Sportsbook at the Circa Resort and Casino in downtown Las Vegas. Femi Abebefe alongside Mike Pritchard here filling in for Michael Lombardi. We just had head coach Steve Fisher on in the last segment. We appreciate having his analysis, and we're going to bring on another head coach here to talk some more March Madness and some college basketball. We're going to welcome in Coach Bobby Kremins, coach at Appalachian State, Georgia Tech, and College of Charleston. Coach, we appreciate you joining the show this morning here. And I want to start off kind of with the Kansas situation, because as a head coach, this is a spot where Bill Self right now is away from the team with his health issue that he has going on, and we hope all the best for Bill Self and his recovery. How do you think that's going to impact this team that has obviously national title aspirations as they try to go back-to-back and cutting down the nets?
Yeah, it's going to have some influence. The assistant coach Norman coach, maybe they realize some things that, they just can't go through the motions and they got to tighten some things up. I expect them to make a run. They just did not look themselves. And obviously, I'm sure Bill, Coach Self, is going to talk to him if he can't coach him. he's going to talk to him somehow and tell him, look, you know, we got to get after it and be ourselves. You are not yourselves in the championship game.
You know, Coach Crimmins, too, when you're looking at the dance and you're looking at these teams compete out there, however you can get to it, favorable matchups. And you wonder if the coaching staff for Kansas will be able to do that, obviously. I mean, there's so many favorable matchups for them. But along the way, how important is that for coaches to actually exploit that or to get to that? I mean, is that something that coaches try to drive as they approach their contests there, or is that something that develops throughout the game?
Both. I was not one of those guys who looked for mismatches. I thought sometimes you put too much emphasis on it. Now, if you're playing against a team and you know you've got a great inside advantage, then obviously you want to pound it inside. You want to, you know, pound it inside, get them in foul trouble, and take advantage. So whatever advantages you have, you want to do that. If you know, if you have a great point guard that can attack, obviously he's going to attack. But for me, I did not think like mismatches. We did a lot of ball screens, and anytime you do ball screens, you automatically create mismatches. And sometimes, you know, now, you know, you might have a wing on the perimeter. Let's say he's about 6'6", 6'7". He can really post up. And what you might want to do, you have some plays for him where you would maybe run him off a high ball screen, off the ball, and then that post that he rubbed off, the post would pop out, catch it, and he would post up down low with nobody around him. And so I said what I call set plays for certain players. I always had at least one or two plays for one of my players. And so if I did think it was time to get that guy the ball, then I would run what I call a set play.
We're speaking with head coach Bobby Crimmins, coached in the ACC at Georgia Tech, made a Final Four with Georgia Tech. And let's focus in here on the ACC because – Duke has been the story of that conference over the last 3 to 4 weeks now. They win the ACC tournament. A lot of people interested in this team as kind of a dark horse to make a run to the Final Four, and they looked every bit of a live dark horse yesterday, beating Oral Roberts in an impressive fashion. But what do you make of the Blue Devils here? John Shire, first-year head coach, as this young team is starting to kind of find its footing at the right time.
Yeah, you know, a lot of people talk about 9 new players coming to Duke. And all the youth. But what they forget about is they got one veteran named Roach. And Roach is a veteran point guard who can make big plays and keep other people involved. And they listen to him. So what's important is, as you well know, especially when I coach, how important the point guard position was to me and to other coaches, Duke got a heck of a point guard who's got a lot of experience, and he could direct these young men how to play. They're playing with great enthusiasm, fantastic enthusiasm. They're big. They block shots. They score inside. They shoot from the outside. They do a lot of great things. And I can't wait to see how far they're going to go. They looked good last night. And I think, you know, they definitely have a run in them. Of course, Virginia lost last night, which was unbelievable. Virginia can play great. They played great against Clemson in the semifinals of the ACC. And then they played like they played last night against Duke. They did not make shots, and I can't believe some of the free throws they missed. So now you have 3 ACC teams playing today. You got NC State, Creighton. What a game. Yeah. What a game. And the 2 guards at NC State are something. I'm not sure who I'd pick in this game, but it's quite a game. Miami plays Drake. Miami could make a run. That backcourt, they have the young man that transferred from Kansas State, Pack. Mm-hmm. Is something else. And then the final ACC team, let's see, who did I leave out? I got NC State, Miami, and the other ACC team would be, who's in there with that's still playing?
Pitt. Pitt right now.
Pitt, excuse me, Pitt. Yep. Pitt's dangerous. And what a matchup that is today. let's see, who they're playing, Iowa State. Now, yep. Iowa State's very athletic. Pitt has a veteran point guard. They got a kid, this is third school. Burton has been to 2 other schools. And again, I love point guards. I look at point guard play. I was disappointed yesterday in Clark for Virginia because I really like him. And when he threw that ball up in the air, I about fainted. And when the Furman kid caught it, I just couldn't believe, you know, that Clark, they actually had a timeout. He could have called timeout, but I expected Clark, when he caught that back, when he got the pass back from inbound in the ball, I expected him to dribble hard to the right side where nobody was, and he'd run out to make an easy pass. Instead, he let the trap come to him instead of beating the trap. And when the trap did come, he dribbled to the left side, to what we call the coffin corner. And then they were in trouble.
Yeah. No, it was, for as much basketball as Kihei Clark has played, it was kind of mind-blowing to see him in the sports book here where we're sitting, went absolutely crazy when the Furman kid ended up making that shot here. Last question here, Coach. You mentioned that Drake and Miami game. That's going to be a heavily bet game. It's coming up later on this evening. Miami right now is a 2.5-point favorite. So the betting market likes Miami just narrowly over Drake, which is seen as one of those live, upset-minded mid-major teams. Do you think the Hurricanes can get it done because of that backcourt that you mentioned with Wong and Pack?
They did it last year.
Yeah.
They did not play great in the ACC tournament. The one thing everybody's got to understand this year is nobody has been dominating. They've been up and down. And that's the way that the NCAA tournament's going to go. Nobody has been consistently great throughout the year, like other years. So, you know, I can't believe how I've seen Miami play so well, and then I've seen them play so poorly. They lost at Georgia Tech. They had the game won, and they blew it. So you're rolling the dice.
I think that's a lot of the NCAA tournament. Yes, rolling the dice. He is head coach Bobby Kremins, coached at App State, Georgia Tech, and College of Charleston. Coach, we appreciate the analysis. Be well, and we'll hope to talk soon.
Okay, thank you.
I think that's a perfect way to put this thing, that nobody in the country is that dominant team, and maybe it's one of those Houstons or Kansas or Duke could be emerging as well. But I think as bettors, everything is on the table, and we saw it yesterday with Arizona losing to Princeton. Like, there's no great team this year in college basketball.
There isn't, and it's funny because, well, not funny. I mean, it's the circles of life, I guess, because Coach Kremins was coaching Georgia Tech in that Final Four, and I was in Denver. It was UNLV. UNLV, Duke, Georgia Tech, and I can't remember the other team.
I forgot who else was in that final.
But you're right, but it was UNLV versus Georgia Tech, and Dennis Scott and all those guys, right? And Anderson Hunt hits a three that sends the UNLV Running Rebels to the national championship, and then it just blow Duke out of McNichols Arena, right? So you never know what a buzzer beater or a shot like that can do for confidence and certainly for momentum, but I think all of that is added into the mix of the madness. So that's why we enjoy this this situation as we're watching your Trojans. Not your Trojans, your Spartans.
Sparty party. Spartans.
Yeah, so I'm looking at that. It got up to plus 300 in their end game for the USC.
It might be a Sparty party right now as Michigan State is up 24-15 under 8 minutes to go in the first half. Right now in the end game, they're laying 6.5. Mm-hmm. The total is 138.5, so we're still hovering around that total number. But maybe a chance to buy low on USC, or could Izzo be back to his old ways? We'll find that out. Hope so, because I got him in the Final Four. Let's make a run, Sparty. We'll make it a Sparty party here on St. Paddy's Day. We'll be back to talk some more college hoops, and we'll get to some of the NFL free agency news as well. This is the Lombardi Line presented by BetMGM.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Femi Abebefe, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
There's no better time to hit the court for some exciting action in college basketball. Sign up with BetMGM using bonus code VSiN1000 and place your first bet on March matchups. If your wager loses, you'll still receive up to $1,000 back in bonus bets. Find out why March is the most magical month in sports and take your shot at a thrilling tournament win. Eligibility restrictions apply. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly and offer resources to help you make appropriate choices. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. U.S. promotional offers not available in Mississippi, Nevada, New York, and Ontario. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in Colorado, Washington, D.C., Illinois, Indiana, Louisiana, Maryland, Mississippi, New Jersey, Ohio, Pennsylvania, Tennessee, Virginia, West Virginia, and Wyoming. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona, 1-800-522-4700 in Kansas and Nevada, 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa, 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. Welcome back. This is the Lombardi Line presented by BetMGM. He's Mike Pritchard. I'm Femi Abebefe. We're hanging out here at the Circa Resort and Casino in downtown Las Vegas. The sportsbook, there's been some noticeable cheers when Michigan State goes ahead and makes a basket. So I think the betting info was correct.
Yes.
Public betting is on Michigan State. And so far, it's off to a pretty good start as they're up 26-19 and now 26-21, or 28-21 rather, with Sparty leading the way so far here in this game. Looking at the box score, take a look, because Michigan State, we talked about how their three-point shooting has been how they found their success. It hasn't been a lot of threes in this game, only 2 for 5. Now, we're still in the early portion of this game, but they've been able to work it on the inside and get some efficient shots.
Yeah, they are attacking the hoop. SC, you know, not getting back in transition sometimes, but I think SC went cold, too, early on in that first half, in the first half, under 5 minutes now. But knocking down some shots and stiffing up defensively, too, so... it's a tighter game. I mentioned that live line in play. It was up to plus 300. That was that magical money line situation when you're looking at in play, whether or not you want to jump on it. I didn't, not yet, but it was plus 6.5 to live in play at 1.2 if you like SC. But, you know, I think Michigan State, you're right, they haven't needed the outside shot, really getting interior and certainly attacking the basket with transitional plays as well.
We also have game number 2 underway. This one is in Greensboro, North Carolina. Kennesaw State and Xavier. Xavier closed as a 12-point favorite, total 152, one of the higher totals, just given off Xavier's pace and how they like to kind of play an offensive-minded team, and maybe they slack a little bit on defense, but so far they're off to a pretty good start, up 14-7 right now. They're laying 15.5 on the in-game total, has now actually crept up to 159.5. So we're playing at an over pace in this game where a lot of unders were hitting yesterday. I know you said that you were betting on some of those unders yesterday, but this game, it appears that the over is the side, at least in the early going.
Well, I had two unders. It was Princeton, certainly, in that game against Arizona, because that line, I mean, it was 154. I was like, wait a minute, it's Princeton out there. and I didn't think Arizona was going to run them out the gym either. And then the other under was the previous game when you watched Charleston and SDSU. We had Coach Fisher on earlier, and he talked about, and predominantly because, you know, as you adjust in a game or what you can lean on, preventing runs, really amping up the energy defensively, that's what you're going to lean on. That's what travels. That's what Coach Fisher talked about. So at some point, Charleston and SDSU, that thing was going to become a slugfest, right? So I jumped on the under in that one, too, was able to cash both of those tickets yesterday.
Yeah, I think that's the point where defense travels is a very big deal, especially when you have the tournament set up to where you get two games at one location, then you go to another location, then if you make it to the Final Four, if you're fortunate enough to do that, you're playing in those big cavernous arenas in the football stadiums to where sight lines are a little bit off. So if you can play defense consistently, you should be able to stay in some of those games and just need to make a couple of buckets and ultimately maybe win the game there.
There you go.
But, yeah, those are the games we got going on right now. Santa Barbara and Baylor will be tipping off in about 40 minutes. I actually have a play in that game. I'm on the Gauchos.
Okay.
I took the 10.5 with the Gauchos. I don't like Baylor's defense.
Man. Okay.
Baylor, they're a little suspect on the defensive end of the floor. A team like UC Santa Barbara who can score the basketball, I think will be able to stay within this number here. Baylor should win the game. Should. But I sprinkled a little bit on UC Santa Barbara money line as well.
Not mad at that play.
I played 5-1 on the money line. It's plus 425 at some locations. Obviously, shop around for the best number. But I think the Gauchos are live.
Yeah.
I think they're live to win this game. But I don't think that it's going to happen. Probably Baylor will win. But I figured if I'm going to like them at plus 10.5, let's get silly because it's March Madness.
Sure.
And also play a little on the money line as well.
Yeah, I mean, the total at 141.5, too, is interesting because Baylor an identity from an identity standpoint seems like they are more offensive minded, right? To your point about their defense. So yeah, there's a chance double digit dog situation right there. So not mad at that play at all.
Yeah. If you don't defend well, I just, it's hard for me to buy in.
Yeah.
You know, it's hard for me. And those are teams that I'd like to fade because oftentimes those good offensive teams, they're laying big numbers like 10.5 or in the case of Gonzaga later tonight. I don't have a play in that game, but they're laying 15 or so against right. Grand Canyon. Those are the teams where if you're not getting stops, how do you get that margin? Yeah. And maybe you just overwhelm the other team, but I'll play against that a little bit. And I'm going to play against it. We're going with UC Santa Barbara. So we got a lot of games that are on deck. We'll obviously keep our eyes on the madness. But while we have some time here, Pritch, we'll do a little NFL, some free agency, because free agency is still rolling along. We were talking about it before the show that it almost feels like it's winding down. And the new league year just started on Wednesday because these deals, they get done pretty fast with the quote-unquote legal tampering period, which is the biggest oxymoron because tampering is inherently illegal, but I guess it's legal at the early portion of the week here. The Denver Broncos have spent the most money so far in free agency, $235.1 million, their biggest signing being right tackle Mike McGlinchey. We've seen him in Atlanta hand out some big deals, Jesse Bates notably being the biggest one there. Which team do you think has gotten better? Like which team has improved the most in this early portion of free agency, in your eyes?
Yeah, remember, we're talking about on paper.
Yes.
You know, it's
where,
like...
Where the game is not played, by the way, in case you were wondering.
Yeah, we're fantasy football time right now, and which team really on paper has gotten better? I mean, the team that has gotten better is Denver on paper. Mm-hmm. I mean, that roster was so bad. In addition to all the problems that they had with the head coach and lack of credibility, and then, okay, you throw in Russell Wilson... and the ego and just the disconnect, the locker room dysfunctional. So just from a standpoint of the offseason, the Broncos have gotten better. Now, is that going to turn into a worse to first situation? I mean, the foundation for that to happen is there. You got Sean Payton. You got Russell Wilson. You got a head coach quarterback combination that I think is formidable. It's something you have to respect. Now, can they rein it all in? Can the ego of Russell Wilson leave Denver? And I think it can with a head coach as strong as Peyton. And now he's got an offensive line, too. Offensive line was an issue for the Broncos prior to Russell Wilson. It was an issue last year, and now they just bought an offensive line. Running back, P. Ryan. I think P. Ryan is an underrated player in the National Football League. And then you throw in Williams, who's coming back from an injury, too. So we'll see what happens there. But then defensively... with Vance Joseph coming back, the former head coach, now the defense coordinator, he's going to pressure up everybody. And so I think that plays into the identity that Denver wants to play with. And I don't know if it's a worst to first because I still want to investigate what Kansas City's trying to do.
Yeah.
But they're the cream of the crop right there. Kansas City still inside that division. But a team that's gotten better on paper wholeheartedly has been the Broncos.
The Broncos right now are plus 450 over at BetMGM to win the AFC West. Like you, I don't think I would bet that
right.
just because Kansas City is still the class of that division, and it's reflected in the odds, minus 160 right now. And also the Chargers, they're always lurking. It feels like the Chargers every offseason we have that discussion about, oh, this could be their year. And for I don't know if it's bad luck or whatever, but they have a trouble staying healthy, and then they Charger games away. The Raiders is a long shot, 14-1.
So
is the distant fourth team in that division.
The thing about the Raiders is, like, they had a pretty good offense last year. Now, is Jimmy G and what they've done, Jacoby Myers, all those guys, are those upgrades? And I'm not necessarily looking at it as upgrades, but I am looking at it as comfort because it's New England West now. I mean, the blueprint from New England has moved and migrated to the West, and it's out here in Vegas because they have disciplined, passionate, overachieving players right now. And that's what they're collecting. Now, it's not sexy. There's no sexy names out there, but can they, in other words, can they duplicate the blueprint out there in New England and where you get these players that really nobody knows a lot about? There's no stars other than Davante Adams and Josh Jacobs now, but collectively they're disciplined, they have passion, they don't make mistakes, and they play as a team. And can they execute? So will they win a division? No. But can they compete for a wild card situation? I think that could be in the cards for the Raiders.
Yeah, the AFC West should be interesting once again this season. Real quick before we head to break, it's been a little bit quiet in the sports book because USC is starting to make a run.
I told you. Trojans
are now down by one.
Wow.
Michigan State, it's back to the pre-flop number 2.5 is what Sparty is laying.
Short
total
dogs.
136.5. So we're going to have a lot of fun with this game. Sportsbook here is packed. Sportsbook at the South Point is packed as well. And we're going to bring on Hall of Fame odds maker Vinny Maiulo with this to start hour number two. This is the Lombardi Line presented by BetMGM.